How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Flares it out to Joe Johnson. He penetrates, steps back. Joe does it again! He's incredible!
20-second timeout.
Absolutely mind-blowing, incredible. Joe Johnson has stunned the Staples Center and put the Jazz up by five with 19 seconds left.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 26th of April. Jazz in the series 3-2. Hayward makes four plays that forever should be etched in your Gordon Hayward fandom. Joe Johnson does it again. The Jazz have answers to all the Clippers' questions, and I don't think the Clippers do to the Jazz. It's coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Welcome to Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, taking you through this playoff run on a daily basis. And the Jazz coming out with a mammoth Game 5 win. Hope you're doing great. We got in around 3 o'clock. I got in around 4 a.m. to my house last night. So a little later show today than usual. Today's show is brought to you by Gemalto, as well as Zip Recruiter. We thank our sponsors very much. There is open inventory for the next week or two. If you'd like to jump aboard, then carry it into free agency and or draft and all that. So if you'd like to advertise on the program, you'll reach 98% male audience between the ages of 25 and 54. Actually, between 18 and 44 is about 72% of the audience. 25 to 54 is about 77% of the audience. So if those are the people you want for your business, then you should be jumping on and calling me and getting your advertising in on the program. So email me at dlock09@gmail.com. dlock09@gmail.com. We'll, the pin across the world today has to be a little different, and then we'll dig into the game. So today's Larry H. Miller's birthday. This is a day where everyone in our organization, I did not do this this morning. I've tried to sleep this year and would not have allowed it. But everyone in our company except for me, so I guess I'm the loser here, takes the day and the morning out of the office and does community service. And it's across the five states in which the Larry H. Miller company exists. It's a day of service in honor of Larry, and grateful for Larry today. Larry was born in 1944, so today would have been his 73rd birthday, if I've got my math right on that. Unfortunately, Larry passed in 2009, but he is the man that allowed the Jazz to be in Utah. Wonderful, incredibly bright, amazing person. Went to West High School, was a softball drag racing kid, and just was a brilliant man. Started in the parts department in 1976, I think it was, in an auto dealership. Maybe it must have been, I think so. And then, ends up, I think, moving to Denver, if I recall correctly, to open his first dealership, then brings it back and turns his car dealership into a theater, Prestige Financial, Miller Motorsports for a while, a lot of other aspects. But more than that, I think, is the giving of the franchise to the fans. His wife, Gail, has followed through now. And then, you know, his public service. I mean, his... what he has done in his life and the Millers have done, and their donations are immeasurable, truly. And his phrase that he used was keep on doing good till there's no more good to be done. And that's what today is all about, is the day of service in the Larry H. Miller Company. So to all my coworkers who are covering for me today, I sincerely appreciate it. I apologize for not being there today. And thank the Miller family for the amazing, amazing amount of work that they do in our community, and how they've changed where we are. And I really think, I mean, there's a lot of reasons to it, but there's a uniqueness to what we have in Utah and Salt Lake. Obviously, the church and the culture is a large part of that uniqueness, and I think the Millers are as well. I remember when Gail said very well about Larry that he gave himself to the community. We as a family didn't always get him, but the community did. And I think that's the truth of it. There's a sadness, I think, inside the Millers at times that he gave his life to the community and turned that changed who we are. But probably, took time away from Greg and Brian and Steve and all the other brothers and members of the family. All right, so that is our pin across the world today. I think that's appropriate, don't you? Hope so, because that's what we just did, and I'd hate to have you be disappointed on a day this awesome. Today's show is brought to you by Gemalto. Gemalto is the global leader in digital security, bringing trust to an increasing connected world. So what's going on out there is that there are breaches that take place all the time. 1.4 billion records were compromised in 2016. So you, as a company, have to find a way to secure your most important data. Data is the new gold. That's what they're after. So Gemalto implements a 3-point program, but what it really is doing is realizing that the breach is going to happen. And so what you have to do is get proper encryption along with only 4% of the 1.4 records breached had proper encryption. Breach notification is only required for unencrypted data is the Utah law. So they know this, that only 4% of the 1.4 billion had proper encryption. So it's a 3-part process with Gemalto. Whenever I miss a word, I'm done. I can't get it right. So, never mind. It's off. I can't get it. Sorry, Gemalto. Sorry, Dan Spence. I'm not going to be able to use that word. That's just how my brain works. Once I've said it wrong, it's not going to work. I wonder what I used to say to get it right. The first thing is you're going to encrypt your data and intellectual property. The second thing you're going to do is you're going to secure and manage your crypto keys. And the third thing you're going to do is you're going to control access and protect identities. And that 3-part process, that last one right there with the big A word that I cannot say right now. Once I've mispronounced a word, I cannot get it back, is the process with Gemalto. So call Dan Spence. He's the regional sales manager, 801-540-3024. That's 801-540-3024. To me, last night is about a lot of things. The Jazz win is about, one, the Jazz right now are better than the Clippers. I'm not sure I think that game was as close as the score. Maybe every game in the playoffs is, and Chris Paul's that good. But I felt as though the Jazz outplayed the Clippers last night. It was a weird call for me on a personal note. I don't feel like I was on it right last night, and I'm going to go back and listen to the game. And I actually think part of what was not on it is the other games have had this surprise element to it and this kind of stunning aspect to it. Nothing felt stunning about last night. The Jazz went through the first quarter. They were down 2. They'd missed 8 straight shots, and they were only down 2. They outplayed them thoroughly in the second quarter to take a 27-22 game. It was a slow-down, drag-it-out game, which is exactly how we want it. Defense was taking over, which is probably how we want it. And we were getting a ton of looks, and it felt as though we were missing a tremendous amount of open looks, which you do. I mean, I think there's a feeling sometimes that every time you get an open look, you're supposed to make that shot. And it just felt like the Jazz should win, honestly. It just felt all night long like the Jazz were the better team. You know, it took some huge plays, but I kind of believe our team's going to make those plays now. It didn't have the suspense of wins in game 1 and game 4. And maybe, you know, you just, as you felt, I felt the game throughout wondering, felt pretty optimistic throughout the game. And so that's a little bit different. The Jazz, the Clippers changed and threw a lot of adjustments at the Jazz, and I'm not sure I think they worked. The Jazz got 40 uncontested shots last night. 40. In game one, the Jazz got 32. In game two, the Jazz got 28. In game three, the Jazz got 20. And in game four, they got 31. And last night, they got 40 uncontested looks. They made 22 of the 40. So they didn't quite miss the way we thought. But boy, they got a lot of open shots that just didn't go. And you know what? You're probably on open looks making 50%, and that's what the Jazz did last night. You're probably not going much higher than that. I do think at home, if they get 40 uncontested looks, I'll tell you what, I think they'll kill it. The shots go down at home more than they go down on the road. That's kind of a known thing in the league. And if you look at guys' shooting percentages, they shoot better at home on the road, unless nerves or something else kicks in on this team. But the Jazz really, last night, I thought outplayed them. Now, there were four plays. Saying they outplayed them is one thing. There were four plays last night that were truly, truly special plays by Gordon Hayward. Two of them were simply just outrunning the Clippers. Final play of the third quarter, Spates misses a layup with 6 seconds left. Gordon Hayward sprints the floor for a running dunk and dunks it to put the Jazz up 6 instead of 4. And that was big because the Clippers got the first possession of the fourth quarter. So they're now down 6 instead of putting it to 2. Favors dunked. We were up 8 after they missed. So right away. The next two plays, there's another. Let's just go to the energy effort. Well, they're all energy and effort. They're incredible plays. The next one was Hayward simply out sprinting their defense again. But this time it was off a transition opportunity late in the game. Hayward just simply outran the Clippers down the floor, got the pass from George Hill, and then got fouled and made two free throws in a key moment of the game. With I think it was 1:50 to play. The Jazz led 86-81, and Crawford misses. Chris Paul misses an 8-foot floater with 1:52 left. George Hill rebounds. Gordon Hayward's fouled 2 seconds later at the rim. He makes both free throws. Jazz free throw shooting was really incredible last night. The two others that won this game were offensive rebounds. So it's the Clippers never got the ball last night with a chance to tie in the final 7 minutes of the game. Rodney Hood hit a shot to put the Jazz up 5 with 6:56 left in the fourth quarter. And the Clippers never got the ball again with a chance to tie. Now, there were two chances where they could have. One of them, George Hill, Chris Paul's made a layup, 3:28 left. George Hill misses a tough, I think, a late shot clock, 26-foot three. I mean, it's not on him. It was totally late shot clock. Hayward flies in from the right baseline around Bamute, taps it out to Joe Johnson, who hits an open three. We're up 5. Incredible play. If you have not seen it, it's an incredible play. I think Andy Larson has it up on his site. The next one is, again, similar circumstance. It's 88-85. Redick has hit a layup. Again, George Hill gets caught at the end of a shot clock and throws up a prayer. It's no good. Rebound comes down, and Hayward fights Chris Paul, gets the rebound. Paul falls on top of him. They have that little back and forth. I felt like texting Gordon and telling him, tell me when your technical gets rescinded, because there's no way you should have technical. Chris Paul snapped and should have cost his team the game at that point. And Gordon now goes to the line and makes two free throws to take it from a 3-point game to a 5-point game. And again, the Clippers never get a chance to have the basketball and tie. The last time was when Joe Johnson did it again. That was our highlight to open. Chris Paul hit the free throws with 36 seconds left. Jazz worked it down. Beautiful little switch with Joe Johnson and George Hill at the top. Get Joe Johnson the ball in the middle of the paint where the double team's impossible to bring. And he steps back and hits again because he's just incredible. Joe Johnson is just simply remarkable. And the Jazz win it, 96-92. But those four plays by Hayward, more than the 20-whatever points, were a sign of the fight, the resolve, the commitment, the grittiness of the Utah Jazz last night. And to me, the Clippers tried everything they had. The Clippers threw different lineups out there. They moved matchups. I'll look at this with you in a second. They played small. They did everything. They did things Matt talked about in the broadcast roundtable. I think Ron talked about. And the Jazz, I thought, had an answer for every single one of them. I really thought it was a well-coached, pretty remarkable performance by the Utah Jazz. And we'll look at the lineup data, and there's some interesting things that are taking place in the lineup data that's allowing that Quinn's doing, that's allowing these things to happen. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Because posting your job in one place isn't enough anymore to find quality candidates. And frankly, we all know that since the recession and everything else, there's just not been enough time on anyone's table to actually hire. And so you end up taking the easy route so often. Well, your company's so much better if you actually take the time to find the perfect hire, get that person in your company and push you forward. And all you need to do to post your job is to go to ZipRecruiter.com. You can post your job to 100-plus job sites, including social networks like Facebook and Twitter, with one single click. You can find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails, no calls to the office, no hours and hours and hours on something with a to-do list that's not moving, because that's what so often happens. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, hire the right person. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. One more time to try it for free. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/LOJazz. All right. I want to talk about lineups and what Quinn's doing with it. One of my friends who's covering the series, I'm going to leave him out just for various reasons, made the comment to me that he was looking at lineup data, and it's every little lineup. You know, the big lineups are all kind of have a Clippers advantage, and then you kind of go look at the big lineups, and they all suddenly have a Jazz advantage. Now, the biggest change in the series, unquestionably, is what's happened without Blake Griffin. So the Clippers starters were the number two lineup in all of the NBA. And now all their starters last night were minus four in the first quarter, and then they didn't come back out in the second. So the gap of no Blake Griffin is incredibly mammoth. So last night, Quinn worked some different lines and different things. Some worked, some didn't. But he used more combinations last night than I have seen out of him and manufactured little tiny runs out of it. A 7-2 run late in the third with Favors, Neto, Ingles, Hayward, and Joe Johnson. And then Neto, Gordon Hayward, Rodney Hood, Joe Johnson, and Favors. A great little surge to the end of that third quarter. The end of the second quarter, he closed with the lineup I think that most of us would consider is our best, which is George Hill, Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, Joe Johnson, Rudy Gobert. Kind of makes the most sense to you. And that lineup was plus six and went on an 8-1 run. He opened up the fourth quarter with a Neto, Ingles, Hood, Johnson, Favors lineup. That lineup went on a 5-0 surge to open up the fourth quarter, which put them up by 11. So there's just this little manufacturing of groups, and you look at them, and they're all solid. The Jazz, now that they have depth, have 48 minutes of lineups in a way that we just haven't had all year due to injuries. George Hill, Rodney Hood, Joe Ingles, Gordon Hayward, Rudy Gobert. So he slides Joe Ingles to the four for a 2.5 minute period of time in the fourth quarter that goes on a and ends up going on an 8-0 run and is plus six during that time period. And I just, you know, some of them are answers to Quinn, some of or to Doc, some of them are just finding things. Doc rides for most of the fourth quarter. DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul checked in at the 10:40 mark. Bamute played almost the entire quarter. Chris Paul, as I mentioned, and J.J. Redick all in the 10:40 mark. And then he's just has no other answer at the of what he's going to do at the power forward right now. He tried everything. He tried Brandon Bass for a few minutes. He tried Wesley Johnson, who's terrible, for a few minutes. In the fourth quarter, he started with Mo Spates. Doc Rivers did it. It lasted a minute and 20 seconds and then was minus two. So then he decided to keep Raymond Felton in the game. So then he went to Raymond Felton in that as that fourth player. So he's playing DeAndre Bamute, Paul, and Redick. And he's just trying to figure out the fifth spot, really, on the floor. So he runs Raymond Felton to the 5:31 mark is seemingly his answer there. That doesn't really work. Then Jamal Crawford comes out. Crawford doesn't have it as well today. So he doesn't. Then Austin Rivers closes. Austin Rivers, I thought, had an impact on the game. It gave the Clippers more lineups that were able to be out there defensively. But what the Jazz have, when they, on all of these lineups we're talking about with the Jazz, all of those players are good enough defensively, versatile enough offensively to do multiple things. The Clippers, when Jordan, Bamute, Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, and Jamal Crawford are on the floor, they have one ball handler. They have one ball handler and one passer. They're not versatile. And this might be why they went to 2-5 in game fives of playoff series. Now, again, let's not be unfair to the Clippers and forget the fact that they have are playing without Blake Griffin. It changed the series, and the Jazz have done the Jazz have done a fabulous, fabulous job to be able to take advantage of it. And that's what Quinn's kind of answer is. The Jazz have done the rim rolls have been few and far between. The Jazz have made an adjustment there. And I know what they're doing. I'm sure Doc knows what they're doing too. They don't have I don't know what their answer is to it, honestly. Again, I apologize. I'm being a little obtuse here. It's kind of, you can kind of hear it in my voice. I don't want to talk about what the adjustment is specifically because I think that I don't want it in any way, shape or form. You know, I'm sure Doc knows what it is, but if he doesn't, I somehow say it, it would really, you know, I'm certain he knows what it is. But again, it really would be it would really be bad if I somehow said something that got across. And one thing I've been told when I do this show is just be aware the opponents are listening. So I'm certain they know. I'm certain they're aware of it. But I'm not about to go give away the details of some of the things that we're doing defensively that I get from being in shoot around. What is more important to this is there's a creativity to what Quinn's doing. There's an out-of-the-box aspect. But it's not something that Doc doesn't know about. I don't know if it's something in which they have an answer. The personnel they have. So they started. Let's walk through some of the things they did. They double-teamed Joe Johnson. They double-teamed Joe Johnson when he got the ball. It led to 40 uncontested looks. The Jazz passed out of it, got great looks, hit 22 of 40. I'm not sure that can be an answer. But on the other end, I'm not sure that
Gordon Hayward is dominating this series. I'm not entirely sure that. I mean, they're dominating this. He's dominating this series, and I'm not sure that they have an answer to that. I mean, Bamute for the talk is all right. He's terrific, but I'm not. Has he been that great? He's tough. He's hard. He defends. Gordon's scoring on him. The game before, Joe Johnson scored on him. We'll see. Game six is going to be raucous. It's going to be unreal. We'll break it down much more tomorrow on the program. I got to save my voice. I could talk for 40 minutes, but I really shouldn't. There's so many different little things that are going on in this series. I'll rewatch the game, and I'll bring them to you tomorrow and try to see what's just abundantly obvious and then talk about them rather than any inside scoop. But the Clippers are doing the best they can, and I'm not sure that they totally have an answer to what the Jazz are doing. That is Locked On Jazz. The Jazz, they fought. They were gritty. They put together just a fabulous performance. They were tough. That was just a terrific, terrific, terrific win. I don't know. I'm sitting here wrapping up this show. My notes are done for the day. My voice is tired. And I'm wondering if I've gotten across the message. Like, that was incredible. Just incredible, incredible, incredible performance by the Utah Jazz last night. This is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.